As we continue in the study of what it takes, what it means to follow Jesus, there was an important point that I knew that we need to get across to one another. And that is, my friends, you and I cannot follow Christ unless we have been born again. I hear Christians continually getting all hooked up into the vileness and viciousness of life and saying, look, you have to stand against homosexuality. You have to stand against abortion. You have to stand, and then they start naming down the list. Now, take time and listen to this. When you hear me preaching a message from God, God is talking to the church. Folks, the Holy Spirit will convict a lost individual. I know. I was once lost. Now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. But if you don't watch it, you will find yourself fighting battles of the world instead of sharing Christ, who happens to be the only hope for the world. When I stand up and some get aggravated with me when I say homosexuality is sin, heterosexual promiscuity is sin, I got to go through all of this. People said, why are you saying that to the church? Folks, the world, now you think of it, those who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, their focus on homosexuality and all the other sins in their life, that's the least of their problem. Their main problem is they don't know Jesus. And you and I must get about our Father's business. And that business is focus on the answer. You and I see the problems in our nation. You and I, as Christians, understand that it begins when the family starts eroding, when there's no longer any guidelines for anything that goes on. If it feels good, do it. Well, you see, the world who is tied up into this, and many Christians who take part in the same, if you don't follow Jesus, if you don't introduce them to Christ, what good is it that you've made them or talked them into changing? The change that you and I must have is the change from within. And then our outward conduct is a result of our inward condition. That's and holds true in any situation. How I act outwardly is exactly what's going on inwardly, right? Therefore, you and I, as Christians, we have the obligation and the calling direct from God to present the gospel to the lost and dying world. I cannot, neither can you, and the more you stress this stuff and get into those arguments, folks, what I tell you is this. It is not allowed within the Church of Jesus Christ. Any of it. It's not allowed. Therefore, preachers are to preach conduct. Conduct in what way? According to the Holy Spirit. Read the book, the guidelines that you and I have as Christians. And when you read those guidelines as Christians, do not attempt to force those guidelines on a lost and a dying world. They do not believe our God. They do not believe His word. And they do not care. And the only way it's ever going to change is when they get born again. You can say born again, born anew, born from above. Doesn't matter how you put it. It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are, how poor you are. It matters about the inner individual. There's not a one of us that's walking today that would want the world or anybody else to know what we have up here in our minds and the evil that we've been involved in since birth. Yet Jesus looks and he says, "Whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise push away. Whoever will, let them come." And then all of the anger, all of the sin, all of the bitterness on the inside, you and I will deal with pushing it aside until you leave this body. Now, don't you ever think that when you say yes to Jesus Christ, that, okay, I'm a new man, all things are new, and that's what the focus is supposed to be on. It's obvious I'm not going to get to it. I'll preach this to you next Sunday. It is a focus, folks, of you and I understanding our role as Christians. My role as a Christian is to stand up and let the world know, yes, I'm conservative. I don't care what denomination a Christian is coming from. The focus should be on, do we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And if we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and we say that we have that love, then why are we not out among them, not of them, among the world, attempting, pushing ourselves to do what glorifies God in their presence? It does not glorify God for you or me or any other professing Christian to take the holy word of God, the Bible, and start slapping people upside the head with it, thinking that it's going to soak in. Well, the person that would do that, obviously it hadn't soaked into them. Because you see, folks, when we talk about the love of Christ, I'm talking about the power of Almighty God. God is love. And if I truly love the world, not its ways, but the people that God puts in my path, then would I not want to see them in glory where I know I'm going? Would I not want to see them born again? Would I not feel within my own being a desire to see a change? You remember when we had the change in our life? You remember back when you said yes to Jesus? You remember walking through life? Many of us are close to the twilight of walking through the final door. But others who would not say, well, you know, we're young. Have you noticed that death comes to the young, to the old? Have you noticed that in life, every day I've noticed my plans change? Oh, we're going to do this next week. Larry, you may not be around next week. Maybe you ought to go ahead and do it right now. You and I have got to get to the point in our life as Christians. I'm talking to Christians. Lost world, go ahead and tune me out. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking and saying that Christians need to be about our Father's business. And our Father's business was what? Read the New Testament. If you don't want to read anything else, read the New Testament. And notice where Jesus ministered. Notice that Jesus focused on a special personal relationship. You tell me that the blind man didn't take it personal when Jesus made him see? Or when the lame man walked? Listen, when Lazarus came from that tomb, folks, there was power in a body that surely stinketh because they've been in there for 4 days. And yet, he came forth. Now, that was a testimony. The dead came to life. And the whole focus that Jesus had through his ministry was, share with them the love of my Father. Jesus says all of the words, now you think of this, the words that Jesus spoke, he said, Jesus, that he never spoke a word that his Father didn't give him to speak. He said, the words that I speak are not from me, but from my Father. And who was he talking to? He was out in the fields with the shepherds. He was down in dungeon town with those who had leprosy. He was walking in the path with prostitutes. He was right there on the front line of life. And God, his Father, our Father, God was pleased. How do we know? He said so. Oh, he was pleased with his son. Because you see, his son did not get caught up into the popularity of the world. His son had prepared to get caught up in the air to be with his Father. And the Son of God looked to the heart of man. And Jesus says, I love you. Folks, Jesus talked about his love while he was on the cross dying. Even to the point of saying, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do. Father, they don't have a clue about what you and I know. Not a clue. Jesus looked at his own disciples and could tell that. Even the believers, the ones who walked with him, doubted. We remain in this day doubters. Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. What if all you got's a hope so? You're in a mess. Because Christianity is a no-so. Christianity is a focus on who Jesus is. Not who we are. Christianity focuses on the Son of the living God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How could he promise it? Because he said, Jesus, that God the Father, after the resurrection, God the Father has now placed all things in my hands. Every situation. Because Jesus saw us when we were unlovable. He saw us when we doubted. He saw us in our teenage years when we would mock the truth of God. He saw us during our 20s as we were wrestling with life. And wealth and, you know, all the prosperity of the world. And he watched you and me as we grow in reality. Grow in what's real. Not your imagination, but in the facts. And the fact is, God allows you and me to live a human existence. He allows you and me. Haven't you noticed yourself? Some eras in your life, you just don't even go to church, you don't pray, you don't read the scripture. There's a pinpointed time through there to where that, you know, hey, you're too busy for church for God. And I got news for us. Jesus has never been too busy for us. Always there. You see, that's the difference in religion and a personal relationship. Religion by religious people can get pushed off track based on a religion. You and I as Christians. Every day, God said, be prepared for this day. I'm going to use you. One day, the Lord is going to say to us, I love you so much. You will hear him. Because I love you so much, I had prepared in advance the ultimate day that I would come to get you. Jesus said, I prepared. The scripture lets us know, folks, every day of our lives was in preparation and seen by God before time began. That's preparation. And all of the messes I've made in my life, I won't see them. Because I and you, as Christians, will be looking at the face of ultimate love. And the faults have gone. The sins paid for. The love that indwells us as Christians, that love belongs to Jesus. Can't you picture his statement? As you're seeing him, as the angels come, they surround you. At least two, the scripture says. And you see that, and you understand ultimate love. For you look face to face with the living God. And the only thing you will hear, come, my faithful servant, the time has come for your reward. You and I, as Christians, let's get about our Christian business. Let's stand strong for what Christ says. But don't get caught up in this world and all the foolish arguments, for Satan will use those to destroy your witness. You stand strong as a Christian and say, as a Christian, this is wrong. And you don't have to do it like your pastor does, as looking at the others who live in such vileness and say, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, all the stuff you're into, it's not going to matter. Go ahead and keep doing it. For without that personal relationship, there is no hope. And whatever you do, do it in love. Wait for the Holy Spirit to give you the words that you will need for that moment. But whatever the word is, you make sure that when it's delivered from your mouth, they understand that you care. That's why you're saying it. Because you love and you care. And then that day will come when you individually, family can't be there with you. Nobody's going to be there except for you and the angels and the Lord. And he says, come on home. It's supper time. It's supper time. Let's pray. Father, we realize that as individuals, you call us to your service. And each of us, Father, you have given a special ability. And in that ability, Father, you expect us to use your word, your ability that you've lent us, to stand strong and true with love. Oh, Father, we know the peace you speak of is a peace from within. The peace of mind can only come through peace with our spirit. You showed us, Father, and I thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for the great mercies we receive. Thank you for Dwayne, Father, as you touch his life. Recognize it's your power. Recognizing, Father, it can happen at any time. We now truly give our heart to you and ask, Father, lead us to the next one. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.